really excited about what they're doing, and they're wonderful neighbors. But their grade is less than 1% on their antimony stuff, and we're sitting at 40% with high grade veins right at surface. And we've got we feel near term production potential in that these high grade veins are exposed at surface within these historic pits, and we're going to be permitting to do a large bulk sample program, which will be initiated next year. So that's an anchor part of this story. There's no domestic tungsten production in the United States right now. There's no domestic antimony production. You nailed it there with the China thematic. From an antimony perspective, China mines about 60% currently of the world's antimony supply, and they process about 80% of the world's supply. And they've recently cut off supplies to the United States. And it's a critical defense metal, and that is why the current administration is pushing so hard to develop these domestic supplies. Tungsten is a steel hardener, and it's got a very large military application. But based on the drilling that we accomplished last year and the really strong gold grades, every single hole hit. And not only did every hole hit, mineralization starts at surface. As you're walking across Golden Gate, you are standing on a gold deposit. Many of the holes ended in mineralization. And we're talking ended 250 meters down, 1,000 feet down in gold mineralization. So the size potential is significant here. And we're quite excited about that from a gold perspective.
Good day, everybody. It's Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. Today, I have with me Craig Lindsay, CEO of Resolution Minerals Limited. How are you, Craig?
Steve, I'm doing just great. I'm down here in Southern California. Just finished up a conference, the Roth Capital Conference in Dana Point, California.
Yeah.
So yeah, busy out here telling our story to investors here in North America right now.
Awesome. Craig, if you'd be so kind, for those who don't know you or your story, if you can give us your ticker, your website, and where you're trading.
Sure. We're an ASX-listed company. The ticker symbol is RML. We trade on the OTCQB under RLMLF. We're just in the middle of a NASDAQ listing, which will trade under the symbol RML. Website is www.resolutionminerals.com.
So you mentioned the NASDAQ. Is that new, and when is the timeline for that?
We filed our F-20 confidentially. We've announced that we've done that. We've had a couple of rounds with the SEC. We're hoping to be up and trading, I would say, in the next 30 to 60 days.
Okay. Well, Craig, for those of us who don't know your story, if you can just, I know that we've had you on the show before, but if you can just give us kind of what kind of company you are, where are you, and what you guys do.
Well, we're an exploration and development company. We've got 100% ownership interest in something called the Horse Heaven Project. Horse Heaven is a past producer of both antimony and tungsten. It's also got a very large gold endowment. Locationally, we are in Idaho. This 15,000-acre project is immediately adjacent to Perpetua Resources' Stibnite Gold Project, which is one of the most recently permitted gold and antimony projects in the United States. We're a direct geologic analog to the Stibnite Project. We had a very successful maiden drill program last fall that your listeners may be aware of at Horse Heaven. Probably the most exciting drill hole was the second drill hole, 250 meters of 1.5 grams per ton gold. Every drill hole hit. We're super excited about this story. And we're just embarking on a 45,000 foot drill program May 1st. And that's going to be targeting tungsten mineralization and gold. And in terms of just a background for the project, in terms of production, Steve, in the First World War, the Second World War, and through to the Korean War, the Horse Heaven Project actually produced high-grade tungsten ore out of about 3,000 feet of open trenches. So that is one of the anchor stories of this company, and it's exciting. And what really differentiates us from other antimony players out there, particularly in the US, is that our grades are very, very strong. We've got high grade mineralization that averages 40% antimony. So that's fantastic. Then we've got a second target at Horse Heaven. We call it the Golden Gate Fault Zone. And that story is host to a large and growing gold endowment. It's about a 3 kilometer strike length at the south end of the project, 4 gram per ton gold at surface. At the north end of that 3 kilometers, it's 7 grams per ton. We've had some spectacular drill results for gold. But what is catching the attention of the market is the fact that Golden Gate is home to the historic Golden Gate tungsten mine, which produced intermittently from the 1950s right up to 1980. And we've been starting to get some gold hits at the end of our drill program last year. And that's going to be one of the focuses of what we're doing starting in May.
Craig, so you've mentioned Horse Heaven being 40% antimony. Like to know how that compares with others. The Golden Gate you've mentioned, and you've also mentioned the tungsten being an anchor. So you got antimony gold and you got tungsten. Like, how should we primarily be thinking of Horse Heaven, and why do investors find it significant and excited?
Well, I think we're really marketing ourselves as a critical metal story, and it's the tungsten and the antimony. These antimony grades of 40% are, let me compare with Perpetua next door, which is a fantastic project, great company. We're really excited about what they're doing, and they're wonderful neighbors. But their grade is less than 1% on their antimony stuff, and we're sitting at 40% with high grade veins right at surface. And we've got we feel near-term production potential in that these high-grade veins are exposed at surface within these historic pits, and we're going to be permitting to do a large bulk sample program, which will be initiated next year. So that's an anchor part of this story. The tungsten story is exciting because the average grade out there is, but the mine grade was 1.5 to 2%. Tungsten. And globally, USGS talks about underground tungsten mines averaging 0.15 to 0.2% tungsten, those grades. So you've got high grade antimony, you've got high grade tungsten. So that's really a feature of this story. There's a huge push with the current administration in the United States to develop the domestic supplies of critical metals, and we want to play a big role in that. At the same time, we've got this big backdrop, same as the folks at Stibnite next door, where there's what appears to be a significant and growing gold endowment. So that's always an anchor to this story, is this big gold environment. So if you're a gold guy and you like stories that have significant size potential, Horse Heaven is there. And if you're looking for near-term critical metals potential, our antimony and tungsten is really quite exciting.
You mentioned the World War I to the Korean War. I don't know if that's significant with tungsten being such a critical defensive metal sort of thing, but my understanding with tungsten is that it's cornered by the Chinese market. And so if you want to talk about kind of the push that America is putting on bringing that in-house more, is that something that you're seeing, and how's that affecting you guys in terms of the support you're getting?
Sure. Well, there's no domestic tungsten production in the United States right now. There's no domestic antimony production. You nailed it there with the China thematic. From an antimony perspective, China mines about 60% currently of the world's antimony supply, and they process about 80% of the world's supply. And they've recently cut off supplies to the United States. And it's a critical defense metal. And that is why the current administration is pushing so hard to develop these domestic supplies. Tungsten is a steel hardener, and it's used in, it's got a very large military application. And with, it's very unfortunate with what's going on globally with conflicts. But this is really what you see in the Middle East, what you see in the Ukraine is just exacerbating this situation. And you know, I certainly, we at Resolution are not looking to profit from a difficult situation globally. At the same time, these are critical metals. We need to develop domestic supplies of these metals. There is this big push on. The current administration is putting quite a significant amount of money towards developing these domestic stockpiles. And we are looking to play a role in that.
Craig, let's go to a jurisdiction real quick. You're in Idaho. My understanding of Idaho has got a pretty good I mean, world-class geology. I guess there's some questions about the timeline on permitting. What's that process look like? How long has it taken? Where are you guys with that? And how do you navigate that moving forward?
Sure, I probably don't have enough time to cover that. It's a big topic, but
Okay.
thematically, Idaho is a fantastic jurisdiction to be in. They're very supportive of extractive industries. There's very large open pit phosphate mines in the southeastern portion of the state. There's large critical metals and molybdenum copper deposits in the state. Lots of gold exploration and development. We've talked about Stibnite next door. They've got a reserve of over 6 million ounces of gold. And also historically, Idaho is very well known for something called the Silver Valley up in the Idaho Panhandle, which has been a very successful silver jurisdiction. That said, permitting in the United States, it's probably your most, it's the biggest bottleneck. It's the thing that keeps me up at night. The great thing is they are putting a big focus on streamlining permitting, not just in Idaho, but throughout the United States. And they're taking, there's something called the Fast 41 program, which the National Permitting Council has put in place, and that is designed to streamline projects that are deemed, sorry, to be strategic. That's going to
Yeah.
help move some of these projects forward. And then they've come out with some recent permitting regulations that allow plan of operations under something called a environmental assessment to be permitted in 12 months. Categorical
Yeah.
exclusions are permitted in 6 months. And these are defined timelines which previously were not in place. So I think that is also going to help with permitting. You know, I would say the other thing I want to say about permitting, and there is a movement in the US, and there always has been, and there always will be, from environmental groups who are opposed to mining and extractive industries in general. What I tell people is that pretty much every guy that I know that's in the mining industry, they are hunters, they're fishermen, they're recreational enthusiasts, they love hiking, they love the outdoors. And we've all got families, we've got kids, we've got grandkids, we want to leave this country in a better place than when we arrived. And so Western mining practices are they've improved significantly over the years. And people, the idea of responsible mining, it's just not lip service. It's true.
Yeah.
That certainly is a story that I share with investors.
Craig, you've mentioned grade a bit. If you can talk to me more about the scale, the potential here, and then also what's the next step in terms of timeline? Can you give us the pathway to a PEA or whatever's next?
Sure. Well, this year, with this 45,000 foot drill program that we're initiating, we're going to have two drills up there this season at Golden Gate. Our target is to come out with a resource estimate late at the end of this year, maybe early next year. It'll depend on how fast assays come back. But based on the drilling that we accomplished last year and the really strong gold grades, every single hole hit. And not only did every hole hit, mineralization starts at surface. As you're walking across Golden Gate, you are standing on a gold deposit. Many of the holes ended in mineralization. And we're talking ended 250 meters down, 1,000 feet down in gold mineralization. So the size potential is significant here, and we're quite excited about that from a gold perspective. Antimony is very, it's you don't have to get a lot of tons when you've got high grade to put together a very strong resource estimate. We will not be drilling at Antimony Ridge this year. We're going through a permitting cycle at the Antimony Ridge target. We're filing our plan of operation as we speak, and that will be about a 12-month permitting process to get a bulk sample and a drill program permitted. And that drill program will be for about 50 sites, which will allow about 250 drill holes over a 5-year period at Antimony Ridge. So we're very excited about that. And then on a our current permit at Golden Gate actually expires this year. So we're filing a new plan of operation. Again, that'll be permitted under an environmental assessment, and that will provide us to put down an exploration footprint that covers the entire 3-kilometer strike length of the Golden Gate fault zone, and is going to provide a significant amount of additional flexibility in terms of being able to build some new roads, access some areas of the Golden Gate fault zone which we're not able to target. So that permitting process will also be completed in about 12 months' time.
Craig, let's move to the financials a bit. If you can give us your balance sheet, just kind of what's in, how much funds do you have? How long does it last you? And then if you can break down your share structure for me a bit.
Sure, we've got about 2 billion shares out. So this is an Australian listed deal. Very typical. They've got a lot of shares out. We're trading at about a nickel, and so about $100 million market cap. Australian kind of 70, $75 million US dollar valuation. Number two, we raised about $27 million last fall. Australian dollars at the close of December 31st, we had 15 million in Australian in the bank. We sold a project in Alaska for a couple of million dollars. So we're currently sitting with around 15 million net in the bank. The drill program that I'm talking about is going to be about 7 million US dollars. And then you've got overhead. So we're funded for this year. And that's a good position to be in. We've had a little bit of softness in the market, as your listeners will be aware. Anyone who's into gold, anyone into silver, we've had pullbacks in the price of these commodities, and it's impacted everyone from the big producers like Agnico down to the exploration companies. That said, the thematic for precious metals and critical metals is not going away. So that is not something that I lose sleep over. I think we're finding a new base here, and we'll have a the we'll still have positive price momentum in these metals. So that I do not lose sleep over. And frankly, Steve, I've been in this industry long enough. I was, down there in $700-$800 gold, and we would pray, we'd be so happy to think about a $1,500 gold environment. So to see us push over 5,000 and we pull back to 44, 4,500 bucks, that still is very, very good. And when you look at producers globally, the weakness that we've had over the last, 5 years, and the price of gold, the price of silver, some of these other metals, it's put so much focus on cost control with producers. These companies cash flow extremely well at these kind of price levels, even with the pullback in the price. So we are in a good space. I still believe we're in the early stages of a commodity bull market And you do see price corrections, and that's a natural thing. Again, it's not something I lose sleep over a lot of things. That's not one of
That's not
them.
one of them. Did you mention your how many shares you have fully diluted? If you can go over options, warrants, anything that, any pressure you see from those, if they're in the money,
Yeah,
when they
we do
expire.
have some options that are in the money that are getting exercised kind of as we go. We got about 2.1 billion shares outstanding. When we do have an ADR program in place, so investors in the United States, that ADR program has a 200-for-1 consolidation on it. So one ADR represents 200 shares,
Okay.
and that's part of this NASDAQ listing that we're doing. As part of this listing, we will be removing our OTCQB listing, and all the trading in the US will be under this ADR system that we put in place, and it'll trade on NASDAQ under RML. So it's, the share structures in Australia are not something that US investors are familiar with.
Okay.
But it trades very well down in the US. We've actually had very good volumes on the OTC QB. I think we trade about 1.5 million shares a day on average on the OTC QB. And that's part of the fact that the reason we're focused on a North American, growing our North American shareholder base is simply that this is a US centric story. It's an Idaho-based project. We're seeing a lot of interest amongst US investors in US domestic critical metal stories. And that's we are looking to share this story with as many of those investors as possible. And as I mentioned at the outset, one of our first steps has been we attended the Roth Capital conference in Dana Point, California, the past couple of days. And it was really great to get out and talk to some of these US investors. And what I can share with you is I met a number of generalist investors who knew very little about the mining space, but the Squawk Boxes of the world throw out the term critical metals all the time, and people want to get some exposure to this. They want to get exposure to gold. And so when you get some of these generalist type investors who want exposure to natural resources, there's a could be a lot of pent up demand for these stories. So I think it's going to be very, very exciting from an investor perspective.
Craig, speaking of investors, can you tell us to any major investors or institutions, and then if you can tell us how active you guys and are on the open market?
Yeah, well, I mean, the John Hancock Family Fund is an investor. There's some large investor groups out of Australia that wouldn't be names that people in North America would ne necessarily know. There is a large retail investor base that's very typical with these types of stories, and we are looking to build up the invest that investor base, talking to not just retail investors, but family offices, smaller funds, and working our way up the food chain. There's a strong ownership interest from directors and management. The group that sold the asset, and I was part of the group that sold the Horsehaven asset to Resolution Minerals, has a significant equity interest in the project, and continue to be long-term shareholders in this story. So I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, Craig, if anyone wants to follow your story, continue to learn more, reach out to you. Just so my listeners know, I am not currently an investor, although that may change. This is our second time connecting here. I do find lots to like, but if you guys can do your due diligence, I'm not giving investment advice, but if you want to do more research, please, one of the things you could do is reach out to Craig, follow their company, the ticker. Craig, if people want to reach out to you with questions they have, want to do some more due diligence themselves, how do they get a hold of you? What's your website and your ticker one more time?
Yeah, they can reach me at my email direct. I'm happy to take incoming emails. I may not be able to respond as quickly as people would like, but it's Craig at resolutionminerals.com. The website is www.resolutionminerals.com. I think we're just posting an updated corporate presentation on our website, which provides a lot of detailed information and really explains the critical metals and gold story. Again, the symbol is RML on the ASX, and on the OTCQB, it's RLMLF.
And then on the NASDAQ, soon to be.
RML.
Awesome. Craig, thanks so much for being here. Again, do your due diligence. Craig has not paid for this interview. I'm not currently an investor. That may change. And thanks for listening and continue to follow our stories. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, Craig.